It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast.
Welcome back to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Today we're going to kind of do a deep dive on wealth mindset, strategies of millionaires and billionaires, actually. And I'll just ask you this question. Do you want to be a millionaire? I'm going to say no, you don't, because if you wanted to be a millionaire, you would already be a millionaire. Now, I know this is weird logic, but being a millionaire is more than just wanting to be one. You have to actually step into the role of being a millionaire, and you will be one. I know this is weird, okay? The first time I really experienced this, I heard somebody say it, and I'm like, that's just stupid. But the more I realized it, the more I realized, like, let's just look at an exaggerated example. Let's take Elon Musk, for example, right? World's richest guy, or one of the top three, or whatever, however you want to describe him, doesn't matter. Obviously pretty successful, right? And so Elon Musk has got a way of thinking. And so I believe that everything is a pattern and everything is a formula. Everything that's a result is a result of a formula. And so if you could just figure out what the variables are in the formula, you can reproduce the result. It's really just math. And so what I want to kind of impart here is, if you thought every single thing the exact same way that Elon Musk thought every single thing, you would be a billionaire too. But you don't think like him. You're not him, right? And so if you're not him, then what's the point? Like, it's impossible to be him. So you can't be a billionaire? No, that's not true. But you can learn about the way that he thinks. Now, you gotta admit, he thinks a little differently from most people on the planet. Why? Well, programming. He was born to a pretty cool mom, actually, if you ask me, from what I found out. She was a pretty good role model. Had a lousy role model as a dad. That doesn't sound too unique, right? There's a lot of people that have that same kind of an upbringing. But he figured out a way to overcome it. So whatever his strategies were, and whatever his mother's strategies, whatever his environment was in South Africa, and then later the United States, or whatever those things were, led to the patterns of the way Elon Musk thinks that led to the result that he's gotten. Okay, does that make sense? So if you want to be a billionaire, if you think exactly the same thoughts for this many years as Elon Musk, you would be a billionaire, right? Because you would be in the right situation for yourself to be a billionaire. Now, maybe it's different circumstances, right? Maybe you're in a different country, but your brain, because of the way he thought, your brain, because of the way you think, would put you in the right situation to create the right opportunities, to create the right way of thinking, to create the right variables, the right formulas, and the right results. Okay, if you got me so far, now you can scale it back and say, well, you want to be a millionaire. Well, who's your role model? Who's your role model? Like, who do you think about every single day, and you're trying to emulate that person's thinking every single day so that you can get the results that that person gets, right? But you probably don't have anybody. Right? So if you don't have anybody, then who are you emulating? How are you able to reproduce those results if you're not emulating them? For example, that person doesn't watch TV and you binge on Netflix, well, there's a huge difference right there. Not only is there a way of thinking, but there's also a divergence in the way you use your time. So people look at me, and I'm certainly not a great example, but you know, right now I'm on a cruise ship and going to Antarctica. And easy for you. Well, you know, I've worked really hard to get to this point. In fact, I'm still working. I'm making a video, right? And I'm not watching television. I used to watch more TV than I do now, and I used to watch more football. I don't watch any football anymore. And you know, that time is spent making videos, enjoying my life on a cruise ship. And people look at me and go, well, yeah, it's really easy. By the way, did you see the latest Game of Thrones? And I have no idea what they're talking about, right? So that's a divergent way of thinking. Because when I meet people and they're like, what do you do for a living? I say, well, I empower people to become millionaires and multimillionaires so that they can live a beautiful life, their own version of a beautiful life. And they go, wow, that sounds good. I want that. And I go, no, you don't. Because if you wanted that, you would already have it. Your brain would have already figured out a way to get that. All right, so that's the introduction to what we're doing. I know that's heavy, And it's a different way of thinking, but you've got to think in a different way if you want to create a different result, right? Would you agree with that at least? All right, let's start talking about cultivating the mindset of wealth. And I want to talk about mindset, because mindset is really what this whole podcast episode is going to be all about. And there's a definition of a mindset of wealth, and then there's a definition of scarcity. So the mindset of wealth is really an abundant mindset. And the definition of scarcity is really the opposite of that, right? So scarcity, if you think about it, is like a pie, and that pie is divided up into different pieces, right? And everybody gets their piece of the pie. And anybody that gets more of that pie, that means somebody else gets less. That's a scarcity definition. A wealth mindset, or a mindset of wealth, or an abundance mindset, I'll use the terms interchangeably here, means that there's enough, the pie grows, right? So if one person gets more, that's okay. There's plenty more for everybody else. And that's the way that millionaires and billionaires think. They don't think, well, if he gets more, I get less. And that's a way that we're thinking a lot lately, right? They don't pay their fair share of taxes, right? Well, the 1% have figured out a way of thinking to not have to pay their quote unquote fair share, however that fair share is defined by whoever thinks that they're the person that defines it. Usually those people are the ones that are providing gigantic numbers of jobs and gigantic numbers of results to the economies in the worlds and the countries that they're in. So how about that for a fair share, right? I want those people. I want a Tesla that employs 40,000 people. But you see my point. My point is that people that bring value, you can't look at them and go, well, they're taking value from me, because generally they're increasing the size of the pie. What constitutes a wealth mindset? Well, there's a lot of things that constitute it. Obviously, we're not gonna be able to unlock it all right here, but I can unlock some key components for you. And I could do this because I've studied lots and lots of millionaires and billionaires, right? It's fun for me. I you know, use me as your conduit to figure out what they're doing so that maybe you can do some of these things. And if you do some of them, it'll be better than doing none of them. So a wealth mindset, what I've seen and what I've noticed in interviewing and talking with and reading about hundreds of millionaires and billionaires, they're positive. They're positive almost all the time. Even in the face of negative, they're positive. They have an abundance thinking. Like that thing I just described between the pie, you know, the pie that doesn't grow and just cut up and one person gets more than the other, or the pie that is infinite, that's a huge mindset shift for most people. And you'll know it when you meet those people. You're not one of them, I'm sure. But when you meet those people, you'll see there's a negativity around it. Like there's a negativity around money. And money is energy, I get it, right? Energy has positive electrons or positive protons and negative electrons, right? And so it needs that balance of polarity between positive and negative. So energy is created. So you need your negative people to be able to have positivity, right? But I just don't want to be around negativity, because when you coagulate a bunch of negativity, you get more negativity. And when you coagulate a positivity, you get more positivity. But the negativity, I guess, kind of gives strength to positivity. So if you want to be successful in anything in life, you have to be positive about it. Imagine trying to learn golf. And you go, you pick up the club, you go, I'm never going to be good at golf. I'm going to suck at golf. I hate this. This is going to be horrible. Like, do you think you're going to ever get good? Or what if you grab that golf club and you go, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait till I start hitting that ball straight down the middle. I love the way this feels to swing it when I hit the ball. This is great. You see the difference in energy? It's the same thing that you're going for. It's trying to learn how to play golf. But one with negative energy is not going to get the results. And the other one with positive energy still may not get the results, but you got a better chance. Make sense? Now, in a scarcity mindset, it's got negativity around it, like I just kind of described. And when you are negative in your financial decisions, when you're negative, you don't attract opportunities. You don't even see them, right? People that are successful are not going to present you with opportunities because they don't want to be around you, right? So if you're negative all the time, and I remember I had met somebody last year who was, I couldn't believe how negative this person was, and I just didn't want to be around this person. I was like, wow, they have so much to offer, but gosh, they're so negative. The whole world was in front of them, but they just didn't see it. And so that affects your financial decisions, because you limit the opportunities, right? It's like a magnetism. You know how positive people attract other positive people and you want to be around positive people? It's because there's a whole magnet to it. And the same thing with negativity. And when you get a positive person around a negative person, they actually repel. So there's that polarity again, keeps showing up. There's a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. Carol Dweck talked about this in one of her books. And it's a theory about a growth mindset leads to wealth accumulation because you always believe that there's more, right? And in a good sense, like this is the issue I have with people that are going for becoming millionaires, right? Is like they want to be a millionaire and then they get to a million and then they want two. And then they get to two and they want 10. And they get to 10 and they want 100. And then it's they want to be a billionaire. Why? Like, what is it? Is it numbers with zeros after it? Is it being able to do anything that you want whenever you want? What is the reason that you want that score to be higher? And why can't you just be happy where you are, right? So that's the problem, and humans are kind of wired for this. We get to a point, we're like, okay, great, I'm here, now what do I do? Let's go forward and figure out a new goal. And that's cool, but a lot of times we don't just take the time to stop and celebrate. Growth mindset is important compared to a fixed mindset where you go, well, that's all there is, because growth is good. Now, let's say that you get to a level of financial abundance that you wanted. Let's say it's, you know, to have $10 million. Well, you get to that, and hopefully you have reasons of why you wanted to get there. Because once you get there, if it's for your family, or if it's to give to the world or whatever, you can now start to shift that goal into a different area of your life. Maybe it's a better relationship with your spouse, or maybe it's a better circle of friends, or maybe it's more time to give back. Whatever it is, you can now shift that growth mindset instead of having that fixed mindset. I wanna talk a little bit, and I know I'm gonna go on for a bit here, but I wanna talk about belief systems. Because belief systems are like that Elon Musk example I created for you, or I outlined for you. That Elon Musk example, like there was a belief system that he could do certain things. Like this guy's talking about putting a spaceship on Mars. If you have a belief that you can do it, if you focus on it, and you can live into it, right? And so what you have to do is you have to challenge the limiting beliefs that you have, right? So if you, and this is what I did, I sat down and I said, okay, wait, I want this goal, right? And I'll just give an example. Let's say I want a $10 million net worth, for example. And so I sat down and I said, okay, well, what's holding me back from that? What beliefs do I have about finances and money and resources and time and whatever? What are the beliefs that are preventing me from being here to getting there? Because like I started out, if I wanted $10 million, I would already have it, but I hadn't done the work to get to the $10 million mindset. So what are the belief system, the barriers that are holding me back? And so then once you can kind of cross through those belief systems, you go, wow, okay, now I know what not to do, or I know what I have to change to get to that level, right? And once you get rid of those barriers, things get a lot easier. That's right. It's like the 100-meter dash guy, right? 100-meter dash, he runs it in 10 seconds. But the guy that has to jump over the 10 hurdles to get to the 100-meter dash doesn't do the 10 seconds. He does it in 15 seconds or whatever, right? So you've got to get rid of those mental barriers. So what are some strategies for doing all of this stuff, right? For fostering more positive and abundant outlooks? Well, I'm going to give you five things, okay? The first one is, you've got to have some kind of practice of gratitude. Now I know, listen, the first time I heard this, I was at a Tony Robbins event and he's like, you got to focus on gratitude. And I'm like, okay, Mr. Motivational Life Strategy dude, I get that. But what's the point, right? Like I had a disconnect and then I went, wait a minute, if I want to get there, I got to figure out what this guy's doing. And as I've studied people who are successful in all facets of life, almost all of them are grateful for what they have and what they've created and what they are and who they are. Strategy here is to be more grateful. And you need to begin each day by listing three financial or personal aspects that you're grateful to have and that can help you cultivate that positive abundance mentality. So just listing those three. Now imagine listing them. I have a journal that we put together where you list things that you are grateful for, right? Every day. Now imagine, that's 1,000 things a year that you're grateful for. That's a lot of gratitude going into those dopamine centers in your brain. Recognize that even the small wins or savings to reinforce a positive relationship with money. So when you have a little win and you can celebrate it, you give your brain a dopamine hit. Your brain goes, hey, that dude liked that. Let's do that again. And so now you create this positive feedback loop that even a small win will give you a dopamine hit. Small win, dopamine hit. So in my journal that I just mentioned, we have something called Three to Thrive, which I stole from Tony Robbins. And that basically says, you write down three things that you want to get done every day. Now, I believe in the power of crossing those things off, right? Because when you cross it off, you're like giving yourself a little teeny weeny dopamine hit. But if you get three things done a day, again, we go back to you're getting 1,000 things done a year, right? That's a lot of dopamine hits. Now you get gratitude and you get small wins and you get all kinds of positive little dopamine hits. Like you get started to get addicted to gratitude, to creating things in your life. Okay, the next thing is to set clear and positive goals, right? Especially financial goals. So you know what SMART goals are: specific, measurable, achievable, realistic or relevant, or maybe unrealistic, right? Like Elon Musk, an unrealistic goal, but certainly relevant. And then finally, the last one is time bound. So set up your goals so that you can let your unconscious mind that there's a direction you're going. And when your unconscious mind has a direction, your reticular activating system starts to see opportunities that are going to help you get to that direction. And then if you can now, this I think is the whole key to this whole video, is if you can visualize these goals every day, twice a day, in the morning, in the evening, more than twice a day in a meditation, and you can focus on it before you go to bed, focus on it, not just read them, but focus on it with feeling and visualize it. What's it gonna be like when you get to this goal, when you have $10 million? What are you gonna do? Who are you gonna share it with? How is it gonna make you feel? If you put the emotional context to it, that's where things start to really happen, right? That's where the rubber meets the road. So that is, to me, the key thing. All right, the third thing is to educate and empower yourself. So doing what you're doing, listening to this podcast or listening to other financial education, that's how you need to focus on that, because I don't know about you, but I use money every day, okay? And if you know how it works, now you can make really educated decisions. And if you don't know how it works, so let's say you're somebody that goes to work every day, and let's say you're a doctor, right? You obviously probably handle a lot of money, right? You have a thriving, let's say you're a brain surgeon. You have a thriving brain surgery practice and you save people's lives and they're grateful to you and they give you lots of money. Most of those doctors don't really know what to do with money because they spend their time getting good at brain surgery, which is awesome. I want my brain surgeon to be that. But the brain surgeon needs to spend some time learning about money, because that brain surgeon is creating a lot of extra money, and that money will, once the brain surgery is over, that money will be his full-time job, or at least it will provide his full-time lifestyle. So you might as well learn about it, and then you can make really empowered decisions, no matter what you are, whether you're a brain surgeon or you're not a brain surgeon, okay, anything, or whether you're retired, right? Having that financial education is incredibly important. Okay, the next one is mindful spending. So aligning your values in the direction of where you're going is critical. So I've got a friend, and the friend makes some decent money. He's in his 60s, and he's got plenty of money, but he's always worried about money, if that makes sense. Like, he's like, oh, I gotta make sure that I'm doing this so that I don't run out of money in a few years if I outlive my, you know, my life expectancy, so that I can leave my wife something. And then he goes and spends $45,000 on a Rolex watch, or $85,000 on a pair of diamond ring earrings for his wife. And then, you know, that's over $100,000 that I just mentioned there. And that's money that at a 10% return, and by the way, the S&P 500 did 24% last year, at a 10% return, makes you $10,000 a year. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't spend money on the things that you want, but really, I pick up my phone and it tells me what time it is. just the same or better than a Rolex. And I could wear an Apple Watch for $400, and I could wear a Timex for $30, and I could wear a Casio for $15. So obviously he's not buying time, he's buying status. But status for who? Like, this guy doesn't hang out with that many people. Who cares, right? Who cares what the status is of having a Rolex? Maybe he does, but I can tell you that wears off after you buy it. I've had Rolexes, I've had, you know, BMWs, I've had really nice airplanes. And once you have them, you're like, okay, whatever. You're just not that grateful for them after you have them, because I'm more grateful for the things and the people in my life that bring me joy on a daily basis and the experiences that I have, rather than those things in my life that I buy that are just gonna give me temporary pleasure. And if you go around your house and you look at what's in your house, you realize most of those things you don't use anymore. Go to your closet. Put all the stuff in your closet. Are you wearing those things? Have you worn those things in the last year? If you haven't, it's not bringing you the joy that it brought to you when you bought it. And frankly, that's why you haven't gotten rid of it, because you have an emotional, energetic attachment to that purchase decision. As far back as it was, you still have some kind of energy there. And so by taking it out of the closet and throwing it away or giving it away, you have a lot of trouble because you're disconnecting with that energy of when you bought it. But that was only a small period of time, and look at how long it hangs around. So spending properly is a critical thing. And I'm not saying don't spend money. I'm saying spend money, but do it like with a plan, right? Do it with a plan. Do you need to travel first class? If you've got, you know, $100 million, traveling first class is not that big a hit for you. But if you're, you know, making $100,000 a year and you just spent $6,000 to buy a round trip ticket first class to Europe, well, great. You know, you get to travel in comfort. But that was 6% of your pre-tax income. That's probably like 12% of your post-tax income. Was it worth it for that 10 hours to be able to lay down like this rather than like this? You have to decide. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying, you know, there's certain things that you can make decisions on that are congruent with getting to your goal. And every decision that you make automatically makes other decisions, hundreds of other decisions. If you say yes to something, you're saying no to a lot of other things. If you say no to a lot of one thing, you have the opportunity to say yes to others. What if all of a sudden something comes along and that $6,000 that you just spent, and that was, you know, you put it on a credit card because you don't have the money in your bank account, and now you got a $6,000 opportunity, you didn't get to seize it because you spent money laying like this instead of like this. The last step in my five-step practice here is to surround yourself with positive influences, right? Your tribe attracts your vibe. Your vibe, the positive vibe you have, I hope, attracts your tribe. And so you'll want to be involved in a community that lifts you up, that influences you to move higher, right? You've heard the saying that if you're the smartest person in the room, you're probably in the wrong room. Well, I kind of agree with that in a lot of respects, right? Because you want people who you can learn from. You also want to lead. Leading and following are two sides of the same coin. You've got to be able to do both. Good leaders have to learn how to be good followers so they can learn how to be better leaders. And so getting in communities and being around individuals are gonna help you propel. They're gonna bring opportunities to you. You're gonna bring opportunities to them. You're gonna, and if this one here that I'm gonna tell you in a second is another critical one. By surrounding yourself with positive influences, you crowd out negative influences. Positive influences are addictive. Negative influences are also addictive. So if you start to get in this negative funk, and I can tell you how you get in a negative funk. You pick up your phone, you look at your Twitter feed or X feed, you look at your TikTok or your Instagram, you're like, oh man, that politician did this. Or there's a riot going on over here, or those people are bombing over there and it's genocide. And you start getting worked up into this frenzy about whatever the news of the day is, which is their point. They're doing a great job of manipulating you so they can sell ads. And you get pissed off about it, that negative energy pervades everything that you do. And so you've got to get away from spending huge amounts of time looking at negative news. I have a financial mastermind called the Cash Flow Machine. And a lot of people, you know, they turn on CNBC and they watch this guy Kramer. It's this crazy guy, bald-headed guy, used to run a hedge fund, did a pretty good job. And now he's an entertainer, and most people think he's a stock advisor, right? And so Kramer says, you need to buy this. And so people run out and buy it, and then they get their butt handed to them, right? Or you need to sell this, and so they sell it, and all of a sudden it goes up. And somebody did a study, and I don't even know if it's true, but I'm pretty sure it's true, because I've watched this guy for years. Somebody did a study, 71% of his picks are wrong. Now, that's fine. I look at him, I get a kick out of the guy. I think he's an entertainer. He's great. He brings eyeballs to CNBC. CNBC goes and sells those eyeballs to advertisers, and advertisers pay CNBC money. Everybody wins there. Kramer gets a nice check. CNBC gets a nice check. The advertiser gets to get in front of your eyeballs. But you lose if you listen to him as an investor advisor, right? You go, oh, well, he said to buy IBM, so I'm buying IBM. He said to sell Bitcoin, so I'm selling Bitcoin, when the opposite is probably a better way to go. That negative influence creates huge amounts of negativity in the market. And so people think that is what investing is. And there's, God, if you get knowledgeable investing, there's so many ways to make money. You don't need to listen to some schmo who's an entertainer on CNBC. So surround yourself with positive influences and eliminate the negative ones. Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. The song we all grew up with as kids. That's what we gotta do. It was true. Let's talk about a couple of practical strategies for developing a wealth mindset. So first of all, we talked about goal setting. We talked about visualization. The point here is just to get clear about what financial goals that you want and visualize them with solid emotions. Focus on continuous learning, and then focus on networking, building the community, having good relationship, and even seeking out mentors. This is the quickest hack to becoming really successful, is to seek out a mentor who's gonna take you through the process and help you shortcut it, so you don't have to spend years and years investing your time when you could borrow that person's knowledge and he can coach you and mentor you through that process. And a lot of times people ask me, Mark, you know, what are some of the habits of the wealthy? Well, there's tons of them. I think I've mentioned quite a few of them. But the first one is gratification. What I mean by gratification is some people they don't have the self-control, so they go out and buy that Rolex because that's gonna give them that gratification right now. Wealthy people have the ability to have delayed gratification. If you can control your gratification now, first of all, you may never need it because the time will pass and you'll lose the moment and you'll save that money, for example, that Rolex, right? If you can delay that, that's money that can accumulate and now you can spend it on something that brings you in more money, for example. So you've got to have a discipline for delayed gratification. You've got to have diversified income streams. Now, I believe diversification is a weird word in Wall Street because I don't believe that they use it correctly. I think they tell you to diversify, but what they mean is over diversify so that they don't get sued. And by doing that, you become average. So I think what you have to do is diversify and get several income streams going on, passive, semi-passive, whatever. So income streams in the stock market, income streams in real estate. So income diversification is another habit that the wealthy people have. And regular investment and saving. So notice how I didn't say spending, it's investment. Investing in yourself to me is like the number one investment. Learning financial education, becoming a better person, learning personal development skills, personal growth. Saving is just a means to get to investing, but having that discipline is critical. And the fourth one here, which is a big overriding habit of the wealthy, is risk management. So understanding and managing financial risks intelligently means that you've learned financial education and now you're applying it and you're managing your risk. Warren Buffett, one of the top three greatest investors of all time, says, rule number one is don't lose money. And rule number two is don't forget rule number one. So risk management is important. And this is a lesson that most people never learn in financial. And it's hard. I gotta tell you, it's hard. The last shift that I'll tell you about is a little bit ethereal, right? And that is to shift your mindset from earning to serving. Now, most people are like, how much can I get? I go to my job every day. How much can I get from my job? How much are they going to pay me? How much is my raise? What's my bonus going to be? Those kinds of things. And that's because you're looking at, you know, at earning your money. But if you focus on making money, right, to providing value, how do I provide the most value to the most number of people? That's how you're going to provide the most amount of financial reward to yourself, to your family, to the people around you, to your lifestyle. So you have to shift your focus from making money to providing value. Going back to that gratitude and generosity, the last thing is, this is a big part of transforming your relationship with money. Having gratitude, having generosity, and when you have gratitude, you're going to attract more wealth. And when you have generosity, it's going to feel great. And it's going to lead to more personal growth because you feel great and you're going to attract more wealth and abundance into your life. So that's kind of toward the end of what we're talking about here. If you've enjoyed this, this is kind of a long form podcast that I'm doing here, kind of a rant. If you enjoyed this, hit like, subscribe, or follow me if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you are. And if you're on YouTube, like, subscribe. I have another channel called At Covered Calls. It's an actual investing channel where we talk about more specifically investing, cash flow, income, passive income, things like that. This is more of a theory about money, kind of wealth architecture. So I hope you like both of them. But if you do, if you want to check that out, you can go to At Covered Calls. Put in my last name, Yegi or Mark Yegi, whatever, and you'll be able to subscribe to my channel there. Listen, thanks again for being here. I'll see you on the next edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. Have a great day. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yegi. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.